It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Revelation, we are continuing our series on the book of Revelation, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. The key themes that we are learning throughout this book of Revelation is, number one, that the first law of interpretation is that Scripture interprets Scripture. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. The second theme that we are learning throughout this book of Revelation is that the book of Revelation, as does the Bible itself, contains an abundance of symbolic language. However, in this symbolic language, there is always a literal meaning. This prevents individuals from adding their opinions or traditions or suppositions into the interpretation process. Also, it prevents individuals from inserting their traditions, opinions, and suppositions into the symbolic language, which prevents a literal meaning that we can apply to our lives. The third theme that we are learning in the book of Revelation is that God will not use man-made devices during the Great Tribulation. God will not use nuclear bombs during the Great Tribulation. The scriptures teach that during the thousand-year reign of the millennial reign, we shall reign and rule with Christ during the millennial reign after Armageddon. Also, the book of Isaiah teaches that children will be born into the millennial reign. This lets us know that the earth will be inhabitable and will not be subject to nuclear fallout. God will instead use supernatural phenomenon and supernatural weather to judge the world. God will use hurricanes without number and beyond measure, tornadoes beyond number and beyond measure, earthquakes, hailstones, lightning bolts, floods, storm surge, winds, volcanoes that spew out molten lava and belch out building-sized fiery boulders to pepper the earth. Fissures that release magma turning into molten lava that restructure the earth's surface. God will use supernatural phenomenon beyond measurement and beyond intensity in our imagination to judge the world during the Great Tribulation. Revelation chapter 17 speaks on spiritual religious Babylon. It speaks of the rise of this religious Babylon, what this religious Babylon is, and the destruction of religious Babylon. Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 2. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Here in verse number 1, we have John being given a view of what this particular religious Babylon is. These seven vials and seven angels speak to the seven last plagues that we studied in chapter 16. The great whore in verse 1 speaks of religious Babylon. It speaks of the world church. This world church contains individuals that are the religious unsaved left behind after the rapture. These individuals in the world church are also made up of the wicked unsaved that remained after the rapture. These are individuals, both apostates and the wicked, that will unite during the first half of the Great Tribulation under the auspices of the false religious leaders of the world in the form of a united false church to help in the rise of the Antichrist. This world church has a doctrine attached to it, found in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. This false world church also has immorality, as echoed in the book of Jude, verse 19. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. This world church has false doctrine, as evidenced by 2 Peter chapter 2, and immorality, as evidenced by the book of Jude, verse 19. Verse 1 speaks of this great whore sitting upon many waters. Many waters, speaking of the world inhabitants, the sea of humanity, and the position that this world church sits upon many waters speaks of the religious control that this world church has over the sea of humanity upon the earth. This religious Babylonian system, this world church, will unite the world through excuses given for the missing Christians after the rapture. Excuses such as mass suicides, excuses such as mass runaways, excuses such as the Christians being the cancer of the world and needed to be removed in order for mankind to go to its next higher order of evolution. Excuses such as aliens and UFOs taking the wicked Christians away. These are excuses that the world church will use after the Great Tribulation in order to unite the world, because of the destruction that's going on during the Great Tribulation will cause worldwide panic, and the world church will try to bring order through these excuses and lies to unite the world under its false religious umbrella. Verse 2 speaks of fornication by the inhabitants and the kings of the world. This speaks to unfaithfulness to the Lord by being in love with the world's system. Scripture teaches in 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Romans chapter 12 gives us warning to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This world represents sensuality. This world represents the works of the flesh. This world represents selfishness and self-centeredness. This world represents the killing of the innocent in the womb, which is abortion. This world represents alcohol and drugs. This world is antithetical to righteousness and holiness in the Lord, and individuals in love with this world and this world system is committing fornication with the world in the eyes of the Lord. Individuals today are committing fornication with this Babylonian world church in the form of partaking in the works of the flesh, this worldly system of unfaithfulness, as they attempt to try and serve the Lord and still serve the world. this Babylonian system, this false world church that has been going on through the centuries and culminating in the world church during the Great Tribulation is antithetical with God. For example, God speaks of love. The Babylonian world church of the world speaks of lust. God speaks of faithfulness to the Lord and to a spouse. The Babylonian false church, the world church, speaks of spiritual fornication, which is idolatry, and physical fornication. God speaks of holy spirituality, where the Babylonian world church of the world speaks of fleshly sensuality. God speaks of the fruit of the Spirit, and the world church speaks of the works of the flesh. Verses 3 through 4. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Verse number 3 speaks of this woman sitting upon the scarlet colored beast. This beast is Satan that lives through the Antichrist, and it represents also this Antichrist system that is set up during the reign of the Antichrist. This woman is religious Babylon, the world church, and the position sitting upon the scarlet-colored beast speaks of religious international control of the Antichrist. During the first half of the Great Tribulation, this particular Antichrist will be subject to the religious world church and will use the world church in his ascent to total power. Verse 3 speaks of a scarlet-colored beast, which speaks of blood and execution. His 7 heads speak to the 7 global empires that we will study a few scriptures below, and the 10 horns speak to the 10 kings over 10 kingdoms in which the Antichrist rules over them, as echoed in verse number 12. In verse 4, the pomp and garb that the world church has in purple and scarlet, gold and precious stones speaks of the wealth and rulership of this world church. Verse number 5. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. This Babylonian spirit, this world church, this religious Babylon, had its beginning in Genesis chapter 10, verse 10, and Genesis chapter 11, verse 2. This Babylon is symbolic in meaning as a faucet of all the evil that came from the devil into the world, through the world's cultures, through the world's nations, through the world's empires. This mystery Babylon is the spigot in which all the evil from the devil came into the world, into humanity. From the fall of Adam and Eve, Satan entered into this world, taking authority over Adam and Eve, and he set up a city called Babylon through the first world dictator, Nimrod, in the book of Genesis. This Nimrod typified all that the Antichrist represents, and the city that he set up, Babylon, is a symbolic representation of all that is evil that has come into the world. All other cultures and languages repackage what Babylon originated. For example, the Babylonian god of war, Asher, is the same Roman god of war, Mars, which is the same Greek god of war, Ares, or the same Hindu god of war, Kartikeya. And it's the same for all the false gods of Babylon, whether it's the god of the winds, sun, moon, or seasons. These particular Babylonian false gods were repackaged with different names in order for the presiding countries down the different centuries to begin to use. Why? Because the same demonic spirits behind the Babylonian false gods, these demon spirits do not perish as man perishes from generation to generation. These demonic spirits live on throughout the generations, and they adjust themselves with different languages, different cultures, different nations, and different empires. They adjust themselves by repackaging themselves with different names. But the origin of all the demonic false gods come from the original city of Babylon under the auspices of Nimrod. And as a result, Babylon here in verse 5 is given the full original designation as being the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. The term mother of harlots in verse 5 speaks of unfaithfulness with the attempt to be in the world and still try and serve the Lord. And the abominations of the earth in verse 5 speaks of all the fleshly activities that are sensual in nature and unholy to God. Jesus, quoted in Matthew 6, says, "No man can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other, hold on to the one, or despise the other." Verses 6 through 7. "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns." Here in verse number 6, this world church, this religious Babylon, has blood on its hands through the martyr and killing of the righteous, as found in verse number 6, drunken with the blood of the saints throughout the centuries. John speaks of great admiration. This speaks of him being mystified, being in wonder, him being taken back by thousands of years of all the senseless killings of the righteous and the innocent by this wicked Babylonian world church system. Verse 7 prepares us for the explanation of this particular world church empowered by the Antichrist in verse number 8. Verse 8 says, "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is." Verse 8 speaks of Satan. He ascends out of the bottomless pit. This is a real bottomless pit, as we spoke of earlier in Revelation, through the plagues. However, this is speaking of symbolic representation of all that is evil. Satan coming out of all that is evil and being the originator on the earth of all that is evil. Going into perdition in verse 8 speaks of destruction. His destruction will be imminent. The world will wonder, which means they're going to be awestruck at this beast and the ascension of his power. These are the unsaved that will wonder after the beast, not the saved. These are individuals whose names are not in the book of life. Verse 8 concludes with the beast that was. That means alive. And is not, that means he was dead and yet is, that means the false resurrection. We've learned in Revelation chapter 13, verses 2, 12, and 14, give an explanation that he received a deadly wound. During the middle of the Great Tribulation, we've learned that the Antichrist will be possessed by the devil, giving the Antichrist the picture of a resurrection, and therefore he will deceive the world, causing the world to believe in him, worship him, and believe that he is supernatural in nature. Verses 9 through 11. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. Verse 9, once again, speaks of these seven heads, seven mountains. Some teach these are physical mountains found in and near Rome, therefore speaking of the rise of the old Roman Empire. Some others speak that these are spiritual in nature, as according to Psalm 30, speaking of global empires. These seven kings and seven empires are spoken of and echoed in Daniel chapter 2, chapter 7, and chapter 8. These are the seven global empires in which the Antichrist will come out of, because the Antichrist's empire will be global in nature. These five previous empires are Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece, once again echoed in the book of Daniel for interpretation. These are the five that are spoken of as fallen, and one is, which speaks of the Roman Empire, for the Roman Empire was never overthrown but fell from within. And yet there is one to come, that is the Antichrist Empire. And when the Antichrist cometh, it says he must continue a short space, 3.5 years. He is the eighth, or the last, of this global empire. He is of the seven. He comes out of the other global empires, and he's going to go into perdition or destruction. This Antichrist will have a global empire as seen before in the previous empires that were global in nature, because it's the same demonic spirits that's driven the previous empires and that will drive the Antichrist empire. Verses 12 through 14. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Hear the interpretation of these 10 kings. Once again, these are similar to the 10 toes found in the book of Daniel. This symbolizes simultaneous rule. These 10 kings are over the 10 regions of the world, which will be divided during the time of the Antichrist. 10 kingdoms, 10 regions, 10 kings over the 10 kingdoms, and the Antichrist will rule over all the 10 kings and 10 kingdoms. For it says they give their power and strength unto the beast. They are going to turn over their military and economic power and resources to the beast during the last half of the Great Tribulation. The Antichrist comes to power, full power, during the middle of the Great Tribulation, when the image is set up in the temple, as we saw in chapter 13, and the false prophet makes the worldwide law or edict of taking the mark of the beast in order to buy or sell. That is the climax of the Antichrist power, which is 3.5 years, or the middle of the Great Tribulation. Verse 13 speaks of these 10 kingdoms and 10 kings giving themselves over to the Antichrist. Verse 14 gives us a precursor picture of chapter 19 and the Battle of Armageddon, when the world's nations will come against both Israel and the Lord in the Battle of Armageddon. Verse number 15, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Once again, the sea of humanity as symbolized by the waters in verse number 15. And this world church, according to verse 15, will be in control of all people, all nations, all tongues, and all multitudes. Verses 16 through 18, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Here in verse 16, we have the destruction of the world church, religious Babylon, by the Antichrist. The Antichrist has no more need for this religious world church. The Antichrist only used the world church during the first half of the Great Tribulation. Now that the Antichrist has his image in the temple and is worshipped, and controls the purse strings and finances of the entire globe through the mark of the beast, there is no more need for this world church. The Antichrist ensures that he is the object of global worship, with the world church being destroyed. This religious Babylon will be destroyed in the middle of the Great Tribulation, 3.5 years, or the middle of the 7-year tribulation. The political Babylon in chapter 18 will fall at the end of the Great Tribulation. Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 through 38, help to echo this principle. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, or the great tribulation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the god of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, military power, and the God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. This Antichrist no longer needs this world church, for he has all political power, economic power, and military power over the world. And he is the object of worship for the world. Verse 17, speaking of God's sovereignty to allow this to happen and allow men and women of the world to choose the Antichrist and reject God. Psalm 75, verse 7 says, God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Verse 18 speaks of this city as the great whore or the world church that had power over the kings of the earth. This religious Babylonian system as a faucet for all the evil to come through cultures and empires into the world from the devil was set up by Nimrod in the beginning in the book of Genesis as a faucet for all the evil from the devil to come into the cultures and empires of the world. The Antichrist uses this world church during the beginning of the Great Tribulation to ascend in power. And in the middle of the Great Tribulation, when the Antichrist image is complete and the mark of the beast, a law and edict, the Antichrist destroys the religious Babylonian system through these 10 kings in order to ensure that he is the sole object of worship throughout the world. This is Revelation chapter 17. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from his loving kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me this prayer? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.